Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
We have for you today an incredible communicator. We are so blessed to have Stephen Rachel are just a blessing to our church anyways. We're so glad that they moved back from the Sunshine Coast. Hallelujah. The sun is shining here in Norwich. I pray that you will get your notepads out, right? Maybe your phone, write some notes down. Don't just be a hearer of the word. Remember, we say we will be doers of it. And so I pray today that you receive the word today. Steve Mostyn is here and he is going to bring the word, and I pray that you receive it today. God bless. Come on, Steve.
Thank you, Pastor Chantel. Man, it is an incredible atmosphere in here in this room, and I'm believing in your home too, wherever you're listening from. If you're new to our church and this is the first, or you've only recently started tuning in, we want to extend the biggest, warmest welcome to you. So come on, those of you in the room, those of you on the chat, let's welcome everyone that's new, whatever continent you're listening from. Our senior pastor, you can take your seats in the room, but last week our senior pastors kicked off Vision Sunday and it was an incredible day. And we labeled it the Year of Advance. Pastor John shared this scripture, which is the scripture for this series. It's Psalm 18:29. It says, with your help. Come on, who needs God's help? With your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. Come on, who's honest enough to say, I need God's help to advance this year? Maybe in the chat, you're facing some kind of wall, and you may have tried to get over it, you may have tried to get through it on your own, but you've now realized you need God's help to advance. Well, the good news is, He's with you, and He's for you. So come on, why don't you put your hand on your heart right there, wherever you're listening, and let's pray together. Jesus, we want to thank you that you made your help available to us. We know we can't do it without you, and so we take a moment to pause in our week, say, Lord, would you help us? Would you be with us? We want to thank you that you're for us and you've made us to be more than conquerors. And I pray that this year would be a year of advance for every person that's listening. In Jesus' name. And everyone said in their room, amen. Who would you turn to if you really needed someone to pray for you? Growing up, there were two ladies that I would go to. One was my spiritual mom. Her name was Pamela Greenough. Man, when she prayed, demons ran. She was powerful. Then her mom was named Pansy Dickinson. She loved to tell me stories about Smith Wigglesworth and the Jeffries brothers. I mean, she was even more powerful. I mean, these ladies, if you had a back problem, they would sit you down and they would look at the length of your legs and they would lengthen them right in front of your eyes. If you're wondering how I got so tall, they just kept going with my legs. Who would you turn if you needed prayer? I've got certain prayer heroes in my life. They were two of them. My wife's one of my prayer heroes. My mother-in-law and father-in-law, Trevor and Joyce, they're over there, they're heroes. Christine Field, man, she's not very tall, but let me tell you, whenever my family goes through stuff and Christine prays and sends me scriptures, there is something powerful that happens. She's the kind of person I want praying for me. Mark Hollinger, I don't know how he got Sharon Hollinger. He must have the supernatural hand of God in his life, so he's one of my prayer heroes. But who do you turn to when you need someone to pray for you? I think sometimes we look at all of these people, all of these men and women of God that are so mighty and powerful, and we think, well, I'm not like them. Maybe a little voice inside thinks, I'm not as good as them, I'm not as perfect as them. And if you're really honest, you find prayer hard. You want to pray, but when you start to pray, your mind wanders off. Your phone pings and you get distracted. Maybe you're new to church and The thought of praying in public absolutely petrifies you. You're not spiritual enough. You're not eloquent enough. You don't feel holy enough. So the thought of going to our prayer meeting, which we're going to call War Rooms, it scares you. The title of my message this morning is this: Is Prayer for the Perfect? Is prayer for the perfect? When I was 17, let me assure you, I was very imperfect. Like most of you 17-year-old males, your radar is up for the ladies, you little tinkers. And I tried with Rachel, she just kept dumping and devastating me. But that's another story, which we won't get into. And I was working for my dad on the farm, and I would plow, and I would disc, and I would roll, and I'd spend 8 hours a day in a tractor getting pretty bored. But we bought a fancy tractor, and it could play tapes. Now, you young people, you don't know what tapes are, but they were the thing. And Pamela Greeno, she's my spiritual mom. She gave me a pack of tapes by a guy called Larry Lee teaching on prayer. And so I remember listening to these messages on the Lord's Prayer, one after the other, 12 messages. And something happened to me in that Case International red tractor. One day I was listening to, someone said hallelujah because I mentioned a tractor. We're in Norfolk, aren't we? That's awesome. I remember listening to God speak to me through these tapes, and I remember stopping the tractor. I got outside in the middle of a field, got on my hands and knees and said, God, forgive me for not praying. Would you teach me to pray? That was 35 years ago. And I learned things through that set of tapes that have stuck with me for 35 years. So I'm going to teach you some of those things that I learned. Today, if you've got your notes out, here's what I'm going to do. 3 principles on how to learn to pray, 6 principles on how to pray the Lord's Prayer, and then right at the end, I'm going to give you 10 different ways you can start to advance in prayer. I'm going to speak for 15 hours. No, I'm not. I'm going to be short and punchy. So number one, 3 principles to learn how to pray. 3 words: desire, discipline, and delight. It starts with a desire. I don't know about you, but when Pastor John talked about last week advancing in prayer, man, something stirred in me afresh. Something stirred in me in that tractor. And it starts with desire. But very often we want to go from desire to delight. Let me give you this illustration. If I can get my golf club, I meet a lot of people that say, oh, I would love to play golf. Have you ever thought that? Love to play golf. And so they go out and they learn to play and they find they miss it or they hit it off the shank and they lose the ball and very quickly they find, I didn't find much delight. Had a desire, but they didn't find delight. Because in between there's another word. It's called discipline. Discipline means you've got to learn how to hold the club. You've got to learn how to stand. You've got to learn how to keep your left arm straight and your head down. And discipline takes time. You need the basics, the foundation. When it comes to prayer, you can't always skip from desire. You guys in the chat, Barbie Sunflower and Soul Kids, I hear you've been mentioning me. Thank you. You can't always go just from desire straight to, there's a discipline. Let me give you a couple of foundations that help me. Number one, pick a time. Number two, find a place. Many, many years now, my time's early in the morning. The psalmist said, early will I seek you. And I've got my place in Australia. It was overlooking the swimming pool with the sun beating down here in Norfolk. It's on the inside, somewhere close to a radiator. But find your place. Pick a time and a place. And as you practice the disciplines, you discover that prayer becomes a delight. So let's look at 6 things from the Lord's Prayer. It starts with this, Matthew 6, verse 9. This is Jesus speaking. Come on, this is Jesus speaking to you in your room. This then is how you should pray. This is not Steve. It's not Pastor John or Chantel. This is Jesus. That's right, you at home. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Starts with worship. Great way to pray is to turn some worship on in your house, the blessing or whatever your favorite song is. It starts with adoration. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Notice that first word, our. He taught us to pray together. It's not just on your own, but it's our, it's together. There's something powerful about when we come together in prayer. Man, this war room on Zoom, we should call it the war Zoom. All right, it's going to be amazing. The war Zoom. Hope I'm not in trouble with the creative department for rebranding in the middle of a message. How powerful that I'm believing that we're going to come together. And why not make a decision in your heart? I'm not just going to come for 1 week. I'm going to commit to this for 3 months or 6 months, whatever it is. We're going to come together as a church. Our Father in heaven. What a tension. He's in heaven. He's God. He's on a throne. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's in heaven. It's amazing. Yet he's our Father. It's a prayer of intimacy and it's a prayer of authority. We can come. Your Father may not be a great example, but let me tell you, your Heavenly Father is amazing. Father in heaven. I love that song we learned this morning, Brittany. Because if we flick back one verse to just before the Lord's Prayer, if you look at Matthew 6:8, he's talking about not being like the pagans. So he says, don't be like them, praying these long-winded prayers. He says this, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Before you pray, he knows. His eye is on you. His heart is for you. When we left Australia, I left my 18-year-old daughter there. It wasn't an accident. It was intentional. She didn't just miss the flight, but her name is Melody, and we left her 18. And you dads will know that was a hard thing to say goodbye to her. I didn't tell her this, but I left an account with thousands of dollars in because I knew she would need it. She didn't necessarily know she would need it. She didn't think about the car insurance, and she didn't think about the rego, and she was just a young girl living a dream. But her father loves her so much and is so concerned for her and wanted to provide for her so that if she was ever in need, before you call, I will answer. Father has already made provision for you in so many ways, and all he's waiting for you to come and ask him. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then it says that's the first thing to pray. Starts with worship, adoration. Number two, your kingdom come. Your will be done. I want you to notice the first part of the Lord's Prayer. Where's the focus? Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Focus is not on you. Focus is on God. It's not about our needs, it's about his greatness. It's about enlarging our perspective away from our problems and challenges and feelings. And it's about starting to see how amazing and awesome he is. Got a very good friend, Dr. Van Shaw. And I told him this week I was preaching on this, and he emailed me a message he preached many years ago, but it got stuck in my junk mail, and I didn't find it till this morning at 8:30. And I read his message on the Lord's Prayer, and it was amazing. And he said when you study the verbs in Greek, he reads the Greek New Testament, he said, what stands out is that all of the verbs are in the imperative mood. It's the mood of command. When a Greek person wrote to anyone who was higher than them in a position of authority, you would never write in the imperative mood because it was forceful. It was implied that you had authority. And the start of the Lord's Prayer, it starts in this imperative mode. It's your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Our authority doesn't come from us. It comes from our Father in heaven. It's about His will and His ability and His heart coming to pass in the earth. So we've got some imperative. We've got force. We've got a command. Don't stand in our own authority. Stand in His. God, would your kingdom come? And sometimes we don't know what to pray for. The Bible teaches us that. And sometimes all you can pray is, God, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done? But you know what? There are some things that we know that we should pray for. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He's long-suffering towards us. Listen to this. He's not willing that any should perish. God's will is for your lost family member to be saved. God's will is for them to come to know Him. And when I pray this part of the prayer, I'm praying for the lost. I'm praying for my loved ones. I'm praying for my brother. Those of you at home, don't give up on praying. It's not God's will that any should perish. I don't know, I think we should take a moment just to pray. I'm going to ask Rachel, why don't you come and grab a mic there at home. Who are you praying for? Who's that loved one that's on your, here in the room? Would you just stand? And what I want us to do, we're going to come and pray. God, would your kingdom come? Would your will be done? Now think of that person. God loves them. He's not willing for them to perish. So come on, Rach, you lead us.
If you have someone in your family that doesn't yet know Jesus or they've walked away, right now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. Lord, we thank you that you are not slack concerning your promise. We can give up. We can sometimes feel like it's become normal. But right now, we stand together in the gap. Lord, our hearts cry out to you for our parents, for our children, for those that have walked away. We call yes, them Lord. Back in Jesus' mighty name. Soften their hearts. Draw them by your Spirit. And we declare your kingdom come. Your will be done over their lives, over our families, yes. For household salvation. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Come on, let's thank God. Let's believe Him. This is going to be a season of supernatural salvations in our church, in your family. You know, my dad prayed for our family for 10 long years. 10 years he believed. And it wasn't until we came down to Norwich and in one night at a youth camp, I made a decision for Christ. My brother, my sister, and my mom saw such a change that she soon gave her life to Christ. Come on, God hasn't given up on your family. He's not given up on your loved ones. Keep praying. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You can take your seats here in the room. So far, the Lord's Prayer has been focused on Him. It's your kingdom, your will. Now it makes a little change. I don't know whether you've noticed this. The second half, the language changes to you. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Give us, forgive us, lead us, and deliver us. Is prayer for the perfect? You know, each of these can be an amazing sermon in itself. And Pastor John, a few years ago, he preached this. And I don't have time to go through each of them, so I'm going to go quickly through each of those four things. Let's look at give us. When you take the time to pray, I'd encourage you to pray for provision over your family, over your businesses. Make sure you're trusting God for the miracles that you long for, especially in a season like that. give us this day. If God can supernaturally provide for 3 million people walking through a desert out of Egypt and into the promised land, and each day give them their daily bread, he can provide for you. Give us this day. Number two, forgive us. This is where you stop. And this is where you've been looking at God and his goodness and his greatness. And this is where you say, God, would you shine your torchlight into my heart and show me those areas where I need you to forgive me. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. We talk a lot about grace, and I love grace, but alongside the grace of God is the holiness of God. He's pure. He's perfect. We're not a condemning church, but let me tell you, when you stand before a holy God and allow him to show you those areas of your life where you've sinned, there's nothing condemning about it. It's cleansing. It's healing. It's helping you move forward into the life he intended for you. Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. Would you forgive me? On a regular basis, keep coming before him. But it also goes on as we forgive those. Don't keep carrying around unforgiveness. Listen to one of Pastor Chantel's messages. If she can forgive people for what they did to her, I know everyone's different, but remember, you can't do any of this on your own. It's with his kingdom help, his kingdom strength. It's with God's help I can advance. And then it says, lead us. Lead us not into temptation. When you feel weak, you feel vulnerable, commit it to God in those areas you're struggling with. When you know you can't break that habit on your own, you can't break that addiction on your own, this is where you ask for God's help to lead you not into temptation. When you're filing your tax returns and you want to fiddle the books, when you're on your own late at night on the internet, when that colleague at work that's been flirting with you and you think about texting her late at night, say, God, would you lead me not into temptation? I love the thought that God never leads us into places like that. Where does he lead us? When I read Pastor John's notes on his sermons from 3 or 4 years ago, I love that he looked at where God does lead us. In Psalm 23, verse 2, he leads me in green pastures and still waters. Verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness. That's where God leads you, doing the right thing in your relationship, the right thing in your marriage. 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who always leads me in triumph, not defeat, not depression, but in triumph. Come on. Look where God's leading you. That's where he wants to take you. You pray that over your life. Just throw out there to some of our young adults, if that's where God is leading you, green pastures and still waters, paths of righteousness, he's always leading you in triumph. If that's where God's leading you, the people that you are choosing to be in relationship with, are they leading you there to those places? Are they leading you into triumph? Are they leading you into the paths of righteousness? Make sure the people you allow to get close to you are leading you in the same direction that God is leading you. And then lastly, give us, forgive us, lead us, deliver us. Deliverer. That was a powerful line in that song that we sang earlier about God is our deliverer. I learned this again when I was young. Rich and I, we went on a mission with Operation Mobilization to a place, to Berlin. And we did about 5 different summers on mission. The Breitscheidplatz in the center of Berlin and the Alexanderplatz, the heart of East Berlin. And we would spend the morning doing evangelism and doing prayer walks. And on the nights, we'd gather and we'd throw concerts and 400 or 500 people. Let me tell you, Berlin back then was an interesting place. You had every person from every kind of background. And it was the first time I'd met proper Satanists. Now, you don't often meet these people. But these were like real deal hardcore Satanists. I mean, they dressed like Satanists and be, you know, priests. And remember that girl, Rach, that she had a rat living on her. You'd be talking to her, trying to win her for Jesus, and this rat would pop out of her top. And you'd think, you don't see this every day in Tesco's, do you? At least I hope you don't, Richard Jordan. So very interesting characters. And we got to know this one girl. Her name was Indra. And she came from an exceptionally broken background. She became a prostitute in her teens. One day she walked into a church and needed some help, and the church just didn't know how to deal with her. They kicked her out, and she got angry at God, and she decided to become a Satanist. She went through various different rites and rituals and gave herself to the enemy, and she was in a mess. And let me tell you, do not mess with that stuff, guys. Don't mess with that stuff. And one of the fascinating things she said to us was that, and you guys in the chat, this could well blow you away. This is not for soul kids. But one of the things that they said was, she said was, when she was undergoing one of these rituals, the high priest of this Satanism group gave her a little scroll. And he said to her, if you ever get really scared, take it out and read it. And she said, about 3 months afterwards, I was going back to my apartment and I was about to go in and I couldn't get into my door, and I realized behind me there was someone, and she turned and she saw what she thought was these big, green, evil spirits like demons. She described them as being like werewolves. Now, she was a drug addict, so I don't know whether it was the effect of drugs or whether it was real spirits. I know real spirits exist. And she said when she looked at these things, she knew they were going to destroy her. And she was scared for her life. And this is a crazy story. She remembered what the satanic high priest had said. She got into a bag and she undid the scroll. And on it were written these words, "Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel." She read it. And she said, instantly they went. And she almost couldn't believe it. She went upstairs back to her room and she calmed herself down. And she looked at that little scroll. Never believe this, but it was actually Psalm 71, verse 4. It was a scripture. And she said to Rachel and I, as we told her about Jesus, she said, "That's when I discovered how powerful the Bible was." Even Satanist high priests understand the power of God's word. The question is, do we? Friends, we are in a spiritual battle. I don't want to get weird on this. Don't want to start seeing demons everywhere, but we do live in a spiritual battle. And sometimes in your life, you just know there's a battle going on, don't you? There's some weeks when you just know it. And in those weeks, I really pray, God, would you deliver us from evil? And often I turn to Ephesians 6. Come on, let me read it to you. How many love Ephesians 6 in the chat? Let me know. It says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day." And having done all, we're gonna stand. "Therefore," listen to this, "having girded your waist," or your loins, "with truth." That's the belt of truth. "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with a preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking a shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and put on the helmet." Man, we need the helmet in these days. Keep your mind right. "And lastly, the sword of the Spirit." And each day, when I knew I was in a battle, I would cover myself with all of this armor. I don't have time to go through them, but I would encourage you, put on the armor some days. Teach your kids how to put on the armor. Teach them these scriptures. Just pick out one, the belt of truth. If ever we need a truth, it's today. live in a post-truth generation. Everyone's truth is truth. You just notice something, the belt of truth, where was it? The King James, it's your loins. It's covering the private parts. Can I suggest this? It's the sensitive parts of your life. You know where the enemy sometimes goes after the church? It's on the sensitive issues. Sexuality, gender identity, eschatology. Church, let's make sure we don't allow the enemy. Let's cover these sensitive areas. Let's keep loving each other and not getting offended at each other. We're called not to be individual soldiers. We're called to be an army that's united. We're not going to let the little things, the private beliefs, divide us. We're going to stand in unity. Tell you what I love about the armor of God. When you clothe yourselves in all of that armor, some of you have heard this before. If you haven't, you're going to love it. Get on the belt, you put the breastplate, put on the helmet, shield, you're ready. You know, there's only one part of you that isn't protected. Do you know where that is? It's your back. Do you know why that is? Because we are called to advance. We are called to move forward. We're not called to run away or shrink back. We are called to advance. Can I be honest with you? This includes you guys in the chat, Duncan and Fiona. Last week there was a part of our Vision Sunday that hit me more than anything. Pastor John asked a question. He said this. He said, in what areas of your life have you retreated? When I thought about it, for me personally, it's probably the area of prayer. See, I told you there were three things if you want to learn to pray. I said there was desire, discipline, and delight, but I actually told a little porky pie, there's more. Put them up on the screen, guys, because actually it's desire, discipline, delight, and then you can drift. Or it can go into duty. Everything's together. You go through the motions. You pray before you have your dinner. You say your prayers before you go to sleep. And before you know it, you're just in a duty. That's what happened to the Pharisees. My wife, when she saw this, she added another one this morning. She says another one, distracted. I wonder, I've been honest with you, I felt like I drifted and got a bit distracted. Here's the good news. You can cycle back in. You can get that desire back. You can set some new disciplines and it can again become a delight. I wonder, where are you on those six things? You know, prayer isn't for the perfect. It says, give us, it's for those in need. It says, forgive us, it's for those who've sinned and messed up. It says, lead us, because it's for those who are facing temptation and they feel weak. It says, deliver us. It's for those who know that they're in a battle. Friend, you do not have to be perfect to pray. Why? Because you've got a perfect God in heaven who's perfectly able to help you, to lead you, to forgive you, to deliver you. But you've got to come to Him. Two groups of people I would love to pray for. Sorry if I get a bit wound up and passionate. Forgive us. First group of people I'd love to pray for. Maybe you've tuned in today, and if you're really honest, when I talk about our Father, you actually don't know Him. You know about Him, but you don't know Him. Friend, Christianity is not about rules, regulations. It's about relationship. It's about actually getting to know Him. You say, how do I get to know God? Here's how you pray. You pray a prayer and you say, God, would you come into my life? With your help, I can advance. I need you. Your life will advance when he's at the center. It would be my greatest honor and delight to pray for anyone right now, watching online or here in the building. You know you need to get right with God. Maybe you were once in a right relationship with God. You got distracted and you drifted. You know that you need to pray that prayer to get right with him. So friend, if that's you, we would love nothing more than to see you get right with God. So we're going to pray right now. This is between you and God, friend, in your kitchen, in your living room, wherever you are, driving a car. If you're able, would you put your hand on your heart, make it personal, and then repeat this wherever you are and invite him in. He's going to give you a new start. He's going to give you a new start if you'll invite him in to forgive you of your sin, give you a new start with him. Are you ready? Repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, I need you to forgive me. I've done wrong. I've tried to go my own way without you. And I've learned that I need you. So would you come in? Would you forgive me? Would you lead me? Would you guide me from this moment on? In Jesus' name, amen. Now, friend, that was a holy moment between you and God. If you prayed that prayer, you'll see instructions on the screen. Why don't you drop us an email? Why don't you pop it in the chat? Why don't you let us know? We'd love to help you. You've taken the first step. There are many more. We want to encourage you and cheer you on. So please, if you prayed that prayer, then let us know. Those in the room, I'd like you to stand. You guys at home, please stay with me. There's one more group of people that I'd love to pray for. And that's those of you that you're honest enough. When I said desire, discipline, delight, drift, duty, distraction. You're saying, Steve, I know I'm not in the right place with prayer. I want to start advancing in this area of my life. I'm going to make it really practical for you in a minute. But if you're honest enough to say, you know what, I want to get back to desire. I want to get back to delight. I'm going to put some discipline. Come on, just wave your hand if that's you. Yeah, there's lots of hands here. And if you're in the chat, come on, let us know. Say, that's me. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you 10 things you can do. 10 ways that you can actually put this message into practice. So it's not just a nice sermon. Are you ready? They'll come up on the screen. Number one, watch the War Room movie. I'd encourage you. I thought, oh, it's going to be one of those cheesy movies. It impacted my family. One of my girls set up their own war room. They got prayer from that movie. Do it. Number two, join the War Zoom or the War Room. Man, put it in your diary right now. 7 o'clock. Make a commitment. Make it a recurring thing. Say, I am in. I'm not perfect, but I can pray. Number three, every time you wash your hands, pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Number four, pray through the Lord's Prayer every day as I've taught you today. Just pray it through on your own. Here's something I've started doing, number five. There's 7 days a week. Sunday is, it's when I give him everything. But on Monday, I start with Our Father. Just one section. On Tuesday, I'm praying your kingdom come, your will be done. On Wednesday, give us this day. On those 6 days during the week, I take one section and I focus on that in my prayer time. I read the word, then I jump to this. And then, of course, Sunday we're back to yours. Thine be the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. By the way, that's not, Jesus never taught that. That was added in the first century. Don't know whether you knew that. Check it out. Number six, here's how you can advance in prayer. Every time someone comes and tells you a need, whether in the church or even better, if they're outside of the church and they come and start telling you all their problems, do this, say, can I pray for you? Just get their permission. Don't be crazy, but just say, can I pray for you? All right, I'm going to pray. And pray for them. It's really powerful when you pray for an unsaved person. Come on, who's ready to advance in prayer? Who's ready not to drift through, but to advance? Number 7, get a prayer partner. I loved it when I heard about some of the Weebs boys and three of the young guys, and they just got together and they prayed every single day. Nothing like having a prayer partner. Start a prayer, little prayer group with your family or your friends. Number 8, do a, on the Bible app, there's lots of stuff on prayer. You can do, there's about 5 different plans on the Lord's Prayer. You can do one with J. John. I did that this week. Just do more study on prayer. Number 9, try a prayer walk. I did that last night, just walked around. Or lastly, start a prayer journal. Write down your prayers. See who God, how God answers. Come on. There's 10 different things you can do. All right, I want you to pick one of them. Well, hopefully 2. Hopefully you'll be in the war zoom and then pick one more that you're gonna do. Come on, church, can you imagine the power that is gonna be unleashed if we all do this? We're gonna say the Lord's Prayer. Pastor John, could I invite you to come and lead us in the Lord's Prayer? We're gonna use the word trespass, all right? This is gonna be powerful when our senior pastor leads it. We're gonna say it, then we're gonna worship together. Come on, Pastor John, give him a welcome.
Wow, come on. I'll thank Steve in just a moment, but the presence of God is in this room. I hope you can feel it in your living room. And I want us not just to whisper this like a little religious moment, but I want us to declare the Lord's Prayer. I want you to declare it over your family, your business, your marriage, over every area of your life. I believe that prayer is going to shift from a duty to a delight this year. We're going to advance in this area. Before we build a building, before we attempt anything, we're going to advance by seeking God's face. And as we seek God's face, He's going to open His hand over your life, over this church, over every area of our city. So we declare, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation.
But that was an outstanding message on prayer. I pray that as you listen to that message, you don't feel guilty for not praying enough. You just feel a sense of hunger to start doing it again, or to start it for the first time. I want this house to be known as a house of prayer. Jesus said, my house should be called a house of prayer. Wouldn't it be known as Soul Church? Wouldn't it be great if Soul Church was known not just as a crazy church or a fun church or a kind church or a generous church or a coffee-loving church, but this was known as a house of prayer? Well, it starts this Wednesday, and I want to encourage all ages. I don't want just prayer to be, oh, that's for the old folks, or no, prayer's for all ages. Jesus was found in the temple at just 10, 11, 12 years old, seeking his Father. And so I want you to set your alarm clocks a little bit earlier. And this is, by the way, this isn't going to be a fad. You know, churches go through fads. This is going to be our new who we are. Okay, we're going to be a house of prayer. If you're watching in a different part of the world, maybe you're just going to have to stay up a bit later. Or maybe you're going to have to Zoom room in at whatever we're calling it now, the war Zoom. Maybe you're going to war zoom during your lunch hour. If you're in, I don't know, if you're in Australia or in America, you need to get up really, really early. But wherever you are, I pray that people will join us from all over the world, and this will be the house of prayer. So one more time, would you put your hands together for Steve Morrison? Absolutely fantastic. What a word.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.